On the show today, we have Blue Orange Digital CEO Josh Marimont talking about data science for credit unions. Why does this modern data architecture matter for credit unions today? Find out in our conversation. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Blue Orange Digital's very own Josh Marimont. Josh, how are you, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. It's great to talk to you, Mike.
Great to talk to you as well. And before the recording, we just found out that we have a location commonality, because my brother and his wife live in the town that you grew up in, Maine. So I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy stuff here.
Yeah, the town has like, you know, 14 people in it. So this is a rare occurrence for me. I'm from the boonies of Maine. Growing up in California, I rarely, like, with for you, your family growing up in California, it's kind of rare to have that happen.
Needle in a haystack for sure. Small world. Well, let's talk about something equally cool. Data science for credit unions. We're talking data lakes, data warehousing. What's the difference, all that stuff. But let's talk about, why does modern data architecture matter for credit unions today? Because this is something, I mean, you can't swing a cat these days without talking about data analytics. So, and it's not like your traditional IT stuff, but this is kind of the new normal we're living in now, right?
Yeah, it's actually a pretty transformational time. And I think there's been a lot of disservice out there with the buzzwords flinging around and just all the noise that's out there. I think it's actually a lot of this is just important iterative steps that are easy once you break down the pieces of it and clarify. So I think that question you ask is, what really is modern data architecture? Yeah. Just starting with some basic definitions is really crucial. And a lot of the work that we focus on is just actually really focused on two core areas, which is getting data in the same location and making it very flexible to access. And so those are really the two core pieces. There's many crucial foundational problems that are solved in many ways, like security and accessibility and additional and compliance. Those are all things that are just foundational. But when you look to the future and what modern data architecture has to support, it's really about making sure that all the different disparate pieces of information that collectively paint a bigger picture and actually move you from understanding what happened to changing into what you can do, actually changing behavior and making prescriptive action and behavioral change. All of that derives from having everything in one location. And the other piece about that is making sure that the organizations and credit unions own their data. That's been a huge thing that the solutions in the past used to say, we'll offer you the solution of the analytics or the prediction, but we need to take your data and do something with it. Right. We're in an era now where the barrier to entry to getting that unified data architecture has come down so low on the backs of these giants that are investing heavily in the space. And this allows people to have ownership of their data for the first time and not outsource that to another company. So those are really what the core foundational requirements of modern data architecture are. And there's some emerging great patterns that have come out of it, like data lakes, that support that process.
And the advantages of owning your own data right now are, what are the advantages here? Obviously, you can do with it what you please, I guess, or I don't know, I'm just kind of picking straws.
It's a great foundational question. So at the core of it, the idea about what we've seen in the past is that when you own your own data, you've, in to some regard, future-proofed your system. You're not going to have to pay over and again to continue to break your data out of siloed environments. So right now, there can be, and at the core business case for this, it allows credit unions to think iteratively on their data approach. So say right now the biggest initiative is to really understand product pricing and how you can improve that experience for your members.
Right.
That example right there takes having core data and understanding all your price analytics data and even potentially marketing data, because you need to understand your customer life, your member lifetime value, and to put that together and see the whole picture. And each of those reside in different environments. So the barrier to answering that question now is high, because you had to solve those data solutions in the past by siloed solutions. So to extract that out into a unified, owned data environment, you've now, on the next question that comes up, or the next more advanced prediction problem, which is where we're seeing with all these buzzwords with machine learning, at the core of it, you're just predicting the outcome of things. All of that has then been, the cost has been reduced, and credit unions are actually able to sort of be ready to tackle any of the next problems they have or any questions they want to answer.
Yes, and this just makes their service that much better and that much more targeted, that much more individualistic. So it sounds like it's a good thing for everybody right now.
And we just see this happen across industry. This is what's so incredible about this is if you reduce back why this is becoming so foundational, I look at, you know, predictive analytics, machine learning, all these buzzwords as foundational as what the spreadsheet was. Mm-hmm. And that's what it looks like to me. If you were to try to model your business prior to the spreadsheet existing, it's inconceivable. But that comes out and it's just a better way of doing things. It organizes things more efficiently. It can get you answers that you wouldn't be able to do. And before the spreadsheet, you could make a large chart and really understand it and make calculations based on that. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the same thing with data. Data has grown so vast and it lives in so many different spaces that to get the insights, we need a new set of tools. And that's really what machine learning looks like today.
Okay.
And I say machine learning is just a tool that lives on the top of this infrastructure. It's really this concept of predictive analytics. Mm-hmm. We can now actually look at historical information mm-hmm. and make decisions about the future to better tailor products and experiences and engagement for our members and for the organizations as a whole.
Yeah, I agree with you. This is a very exciting times indeed to be living in, especially with the predictive analytics and how you can kind of plan. You can better plan for what's going to be happening, let's say in 2020, because 2020 is going to be here before you know it. So really good stuff here.
Exactly.
I want to talk about data lakes. This is a fairly new term. This is a term that I just came across last year, but haven't really talked too much about it since then. Can you give us a quick summary on data lakes and why they're important for credit unions these days, and how they're different or better than data warehouse?
Yeah, it's a great question, and honestly, it's a nuanced step, but extremely important. And Mike, I'll give you credit and applaud you, because if you're hearing about them a year ago, frankly, you're on the cutting edge. They are new, and that's a big thing. Like, yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, well, what is this? I think if you look back and say, okay, well, data warehousing has been this way where you just store your data and then you have access to it.
Right.
And this kind of new concept of data lakes has emerged. It was a CTO of Snowflake, a big data processing tool, has sort of coined it. Mm-hmm. And it's actually really a foundationally important iteration to warehousing. So it's not a completely different concept by any means. It's really just the evolution of it. And at its core, all it's doing is, instead of taking in data and manipulating it and then storing it in a warehouse, the foundational difference is you just take in data and you store it immediately in its current state.
Okay.
And then when you do the transformation, as it's called, you actually are doing that after you've already persisted it. And that sounds very like nominal, but it's actually foundational for flexibility. And so let's just look at a couple examples comparing the difference here, and I'll try to use some examples to clarify.
Yeah, yeah.
If you think a little bit about what you're trying to do with that data once it's in one place, right now you may be wanting to support an analytics engine or bring it into a business intelligence tool to analyze it. That takes, it's called normalizing, but structuring the data in one way and loading it into this view. And that's that's kind of where a lot of companies stop. They mm-hmm. get that, they can look retroactively information and make qualitative assessment. Well, let's say you have 10 years of data that you would like to actually do some analysis. Like say you're trying to do credit risk analysis and you want to improve that so you can decrease the cost for your members and actually make a better product for them.
Right.
You actually need that data in a completely different state to do that analysis. And there's new tools that you need to be easily connected to. They're typically called in-memory data stores that you do that analysis in. And the process of getting it there, used from a warehouse, there's typically data loss or there can be problems through transforming that data mm-hmm. that storing it in its raw state are gone. They're eliminated with that. And the three impetus for this change are really around the decreased cost in computing. It's now so cheap to just store everything mm-hmm. and it's become really efficient. The ability to do that transformation to that data is now, the computing power has increased. And the third important factor is just the advances in technology. We now have algorithms and processes and tools that handle this so efficiently mm-hmm. and are so standardized that frankly, the industry has really cleaned up in the last, and moving towards this. If you look at a trend of 2019 and an easy predictive trend of 2020 on technology industry agnostic, it will be this data lake solution. It gives organizations the ability to come own their data, make decisions with it now. It doesn't hindrance anything they need for transferring to a new core system, doing new BIs. But then it brings an open era to how they can actually implement new analytics in the future. And the concept here is, say a new vendor comes in and they have the best predictive problem on risk assessment in for credit product, and they want to bring this in. Before, getting access to the data that would feed that used to be a laborious process. Now you would write what's called a job. You'd plug it into your data lake. You'd disaggregate your data to protect it, keep it encrypted and secure, and you could plug a vendor into that. And another thing about that is you could open up the market, because that same job can be put up in an open source environment and shared in a marketplace and plugged into any of the other data lakes that would be off the same raw data with standardized configurations like CUFX that are trying to push, where there's standardized modeling in this industry. Mm-hmm. That then becomes an arbiter, the data lake having that an open environment, it becomes an arbiter for openness to innovation. Other vendors can come in, other tools, even very narrow tools that can decrease the cost, because the barrier getting to access to the data no longer exists. Hmm. So that's what the transformational nature of that small change of just storing all data in a cheap and kind of base level, and then doing the processing after. Mm-hmm. You still have standard data warehouse. You still have the ability to move that data wherever you'd like. It's still extremely secure. You can encrypt and lock it down.
Oh, great. Good.
You actually can have force security where you can lock down stuff like PII or personal identifiable information, social security, those core pieces of information that you have that can be locked and siloed. And, there's industry standard practices that exist around that compliance. Mm-hmm. But then still have more ease of mutability adjustment that exists around things like social data or customer acquisition strategy or analytics projects on omni-channel marketing. So you're mm-hmm. connecting your members from one product to another that is a perfect match for them, and you know the exact touch points to get there. Those are all classic prediction problems that we would layer on top of that data environment.
Wow, this is like cross-selling 2.0. So, because if you're going to match,
it's like a kind of a. I would say that we're at like 10.0, when you see some of the things that we've worked on in the projects. That really is amazing about the advent of these small things, just applying strong computing power and efficient system modeling, where it's, machine learning isn't new. Predictive analytics, that has been around since the 60s, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there have been advances in the models, but the things that have changed most of all are the access to the range of the amount of data that we're getting, mm-hmm. and then that's actually the foundational piece of it, and then just computing power. Mm-hmm. Those two together have completely changed what we're capable of. And the thing that I find most amazing, and people don't understand, is it actually has significantly decreased the barrier to entry to getting even some of these first, like, how do you touch your toe in the water on these complex issues?
Yeah.
It's actually just defining that first step. And once you have a data lake in place, which has become massively easier with the cloud providers like AWS and Azure layering it in, they offer tools that used to take 6 months and now it can take 6 weeks.
Wow.
And that's the moving data out of these locked in systems to start opening the door for becoming a data-driven organization.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, and this is all great news for credit unions of any size, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, and that's the big, as long as there's I think the big focus is the democratization of the data infrastructure. The data lake mm-hmm. really has been able to drive this down on the size organization that can actually get involved.
Well, I say that because, obviously the bigger credit unions have the resources to do things like this, but the smaller ones may not. But
sure.
Since you were saying that the barrier to entry, the accessibility mm-hmm. of it all is getting so much easier today and cheaper, then that means, hey, fair game for everybody now. So now they can allow this technology to really level that proverbial playing field.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And I think that's what's been so interesting about seeing this change in many other industries. You look in, it's great to see financial services actually is a very big leader in the investment in data analytics and predictive analytics overall,
mm-hmm. yeah.
And the warehousing to support it. So this isn't new to this industry. Even it may not feel like it now, but many of the core systems, and I know, it's like those are very innovative for their times when they rolled out how they were doing security, how they're processing pieces. So it's actually, we're in a leader market. And I think that we've actually, this time is pretty incredible because we've seen there was a ton of froth in the system through, I'd say, like 2015 to 2018. There was a ton of many of the solutions that were in play to get that kind of data lake and you know, data ownership. You would hand over your data and somebody would do that for you behind the scenes and you get some value from it. That's completely changed. Mm-hmm. You no longer have to give your data. That is the commodity here. The commodity is the data warehousing and infrastructure, and the actual asset is the data. But there needed to be market neutralization, need to be decrease the cost of this development effort to be able to provide that back to even smaller credit unions. So that's been happening within the last couple of years. We're seeing that across the market.
This is fantastic news. It's so cool to see this type of technology being accessible to just about anybody. So this is really good stuff. Hey, before I leave you, give us a quick plug on Blue Orange. What are you guys all about? Obviously, data analytics.
Well, so yeah, this is. I think everything we just talked about is almost directly and exclusively in our wheelhouse, Mike. So we, as a company, are focused on two things, and two things exactly: data transformation, which is moving data from where it is into modern cloud-based data lakes, and so that's the first part. And then, you know, specific predictive analytics problems. So that's the machine learning. Mm-hmm. I think I look at predictive analytics as a spectrum, but it's really just this idea of anywhere from business intelligence all the way to the, you know, more exotic, crazy machine learning. But I think it's a very iterative process. You merely just need to start with that data accessibility, yeah, and then you can layer on things from there.
See, I think that's the scary thing for a lot of credit unions out there is like, gosh, where do we start? I mean, it's so overwhelming when you look at it as a whole. But when you go, okay, well, just give me step one, and then step two, and then before you know it, you're really in and you're doing some really cool work. So that's the thing. But this, what you just said, is really great news for those folks who are kind of hesitant, yeah, to step in.
And I frame it, and just a quick summary, like, sure, I frame that exact point in the idea of where flexibility, when I say that flexibility in data, it alleviates the constraint of that business decision, right? Making a big warehouse shift is a big decision. Mm-hmm. But then when you move it to something that can be iteratively evolved, it can be flexible to connect with new vendors, you're just deleveraging all those constraints of that decision where it's like, well, what if we want to go this way or this way? Mm-hmm. You can do that. You've decreased the cost. Well, is it expensive? It's the cheapest market industry. What about vendor lock-in? You're not locked into vendor. All these kind of core deciding factors, yeah, are starting to be falling away. And now you're just looking at an environment where the data is yours and the decisions actually move downfield to what's, mm-hmm, an immediate need for your business.
Right on. Good stuff, sir. Where can we find out more about Blue Orange? Is it like blueorangedigital.com or?
We're actually blueorange.digital. So we're one
there
of those.
There you go. Oh, I like that better.
Companies.
I like that better.
Yeah.
blueorange.digital. I stand corrected. Good stuff, Josh. All right, man. Yeah. Well, let's keep in touch here because you guys are definitely at what was it, 10.0 you were talking about instead of 2.0?
Yeah, so we're talking 10.0. Exactly. We're very ambitious people.
Well, we like that. We need folks like you to keep us moving forward. Good stuff. All right, Josh, thanks again. Appreciate the time. And we'll check in again down the road, see where you guys are.
Thanks so much, Mike. Take care.
You are welcome. You're